Hello and welcome to the Daily Reprieve, where we provide SA speaker meetings, workshops, and conferences in podcast format. We are an ad-free podcast. If you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and drop a dollar or two into the virtual basket. Please consider donating monthly by clicking the Donate Monthly button. However, one-time donations are always welcome. Just click the Donate Now button. Now, without further ado, this episode of The Daily Reprieve.
Good morning. I'm Brendan, sexaholic, and welcome to this, for me, it's the morning. I'm based just for this week or so in Barcelona. Just spent a lovely few days with my son and daughter. And that's great, you know, and that's possible because of sobriety. And yeah, we're going through the steps, and today we're on step seven. And once again, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is our basic text, you know, this is just a short paragraph. Actually, it's just a prayer. God, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. Please, God, take away every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And I do that prayer every morning. I do both the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer every morning. And what's really important for me to remember is that I don't get to choose which of these defects of character my higher power, God, as I, my understanding, is going to take away. And one that's well recognized amongst many people is I have a tendency to talk and talk and talk. And, you know, I have a sponsee, and he says, you know, giving Brendan coffee is like sort of, you know, giving double shot of espresso to a 2-year-old. And he'd be off there, and maybe just, you can't stop him. My son sort of looks at me and he says, oh God, you don't need it. You're naturally caffeinated. You know, you just don't need like some of any other. But I do like my cup of coffee from time to time. I am trying now, you know, I am in a struggle in trying to sort of say, well, okay, I won't take caffeine after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, now I'm in Barcelona, and Barcelona is 1 hour ahead of Ireland. So does that mean now that it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon here, or should it be 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Or is it like, you know, what are we going to do about this? You know, this is gray area. We're into gray area. And I'm kind of resistant to, I know I need black and white. That's why I need SA. You know, you give me any kind of gray area at all. I went to one of the other fellowships before, and they talked about, you know, guiding your sobriety by something to do with a flickering light. you give me any gray at all, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Yeah. So, but my higher power hasn't, you know, quite dealt with a number of things. For instance, pathological lateness. God, yeah, doesn't seem to be able to do something with that with me. You know, so I don't try to look for 9-to-5 jobs, because he and I just, we, you know, he seems to be okay with me doing things my way, but so he won't put me into positions in which I'm actually going to sort of fail. Now, some of these things, you know, for instance, I've got ADHD in spades, and I had a sponsor who said to me, pray to have it taken away. And I thought, well, I don't know about that now, you know, I don't know about that, because I know it's problematic, but I also know it gives me a particular way of looking. So I have recently started to pray to God that he might help me to take away some of the parts of the ADHD that, you know, that I find objectionable. So it's a work in progress. It really is. And some things have been, you know, I've had to take work on them. You know? I was a member of an SA intergroup in the Southern Hemisphere, let's say. And I was at a meeting one time, and I you know, I have good ideas. And I was trying to help, in my mind, to move forward the fellowship in this particular region of the world. And we'd get them into being part of the fellowship in the whole world. I mean, but some of the people were quite happy just keeping it as it was, like sort of, we'll just be SA in our kind of, in our area here, and we won't hook into the main thing. Huh? So anyway, I was on a bit of a crusade and had been negotiating, and at one of these SA intergroups, in Ireland, we have a more colorful vocabulary than in some other parts, which we do not find problematic. And so at some stage in the proceedings, I used one of these words, and somebody at the meeting pulled me up on it. And it was somebody who had arrived late, and I was a little bit rankled, but I didn't say anything about it. And we left the meeting, and here I am in service and doing the best I can for the good of everyone. And we were having a little bit of a chat after the meeting, and I used another colloquialism, and this person, asked me, did I have to speak in this way? Well, I went up and down and one side and the other in front of this library building, and I just let rip, where are you coming from? You threatened my life. Yada, 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 yada. Bang, 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 bang. And it felt really good. It felt really, that little bit of rage, and you just sort of, you grow. It's like the Michelin Man. I don't know if you remember him. You just pump him up, and you're boom, 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 boom. And you're getting bigger, and nobody's saying anything around you. You're suddenly in a power, the position of great power. Nobody is saying anything because everybody's looking at it. What's going on with this guy? I got completely inflated by it. And then, of course, you get deflated, and then the heart's throbbing, and I'm sort of feeling, oh, well, that really wasn't very spiritual. And I'm going to have to do something about it. And I realized, soon afterward, I'm going to watch this, I have this rage. It comes out every so often. It came out very, very often years ago, especially when I had hangovers and things, from liquid. And I would explode, but then I would be very, very nice afterwards. It was kind of like I got it out of my system, and now everything can be all hunky-dory. And I realized I had lost jobs over this. I had affected friendships, relationships, all sorts of things because of this exposure. And I also realized that this situation, which had happened, actually came on the back of having received a postcard from my son, who at that stage was about, it must have been 14 or maybe no, even less. And he was asking me, and twice in that thing, he had asked me not to curse so much. Huh? And I thought my reaction to this person was actually probably spurred by this issue from my son. And if I don't do something about this, I'm going to alienate my son one of these days. My father and I had taken my homework into him one time, and he kind of lost his, he was doing his work and busy, and he was annoyed at me. I walked out of that room, and I didn't have a relationship with him for 40 years in some way. Now, I mean, we were around, but like sort of, I had cut him out of my life. And I thought, if I don't do something about this anger, of this rage, I'm going to alienate one of my children one of these days. And I don't know what day it's going to be. And it may not be the biggest thing, but if I just sort of snap, this could drive one of them away. And I became very, very concerned about it. So I'd heard about people having gone and done anger management courses for 14 weeks or whatever. And I found one in Australia, and I went to it. And I remember thinking with great sort of, self again there. I thought, well, I don't know what those guys are going to get out of it. Like, so, these people on the far side who, by the way, some group of my fellow essayers decided that because of my tendency to rage, I was not like sort of a fit person to allow to go to foreign countries to run little workshops on how to do the steps. And again, I was furious. So anyway, I thought, okay, all right. You know, because, you know, I like to be right. So I thought, well, you know, at least what I'm going to get out of it, I'm going to have dealt with my rage. I wonder what they're going to get out of it, you see? So I'm not this spiritual anything, you know, except a learner. But I did get to go and do this thing. And, oh, what a relief it is to have to get freedom from that, you know, from that explosive part of me. And in the process, I found out, you know, that I had really bad, really aggressive body language. And, you know, when I told that to my partner, she said, I've been telling you that for years. Then realized that with a look or with just, you know, whatever it is I might do, I can actually be sending much more messages than I could verbally be sending them. So, you know, God will help me to take away some of these defective characters, but I have to be willing to do work as well. And, you know, and sometimes I really, you know, hate to sort of mention these things, because I'm thinking, oh gosh, no, I probably have to do some work on that one, you know, or I have to do some work on this one. But yeah, you know, it's a work in progress. I remember one time I was doing a step workshop with somebody. I was talking to them about these defects being taken away, and this girl that was there actually, she said, well, you know, like, I don't know about this, you know. And I said, well, what defect do you not want to give up? And she said, well, I don't want to give up lying. You know, and I said, why? And she said, well, I won't get what I want. And I thought, you know, this is like, sort of, we actually, I believed that my ability to manipulate, to get what I wanted, I didn't think it was necessarily a defect. I thought, you know, this is all part of this big game of life, and I just play it better than others. And so, you know, I would put people in positions for the better of mankind. I would put people in positions of like sort of awkwardness, you know, so that like they take a decision that would support what I wanted to do. I was confronted one time in a meeting by an Indigenous woman after I had been giving a very, very, you know, strong explanation of why a certain position should be taken and a decision made for, you know, that would help certain people. And she came to me afterwards, and it was an issue that was for, you know, to do with support of Indigenous peoples. And she came to me afterwards and she said, you shouldn't be so convincing. And, you know, that took me by surprise, because I thought, like, that was what I was supposed to do. You know, I've got this idea. I think it's right. I've got to sell it. And of course, we come into the program, and it tells us that it's about attraction, not promotion. Well, I was, you know, and still am in many ways, a promoter, in that let's put it this way, I've had such a wonderful experience through recovery, through the practice of the steps, through doing service, through having the opportunity to know people and to work with people over the things. I joined with one of our fellows here, our very humble Jason is over there, you know, became a member of the trustees. And the person who suggested that Jason go forward to trustees, I think he thought, he said, well, I better send somebody in who's going to be, you know, my sort of, you know, I won't say temper his enthusiasm, but will like sort of maybe take a bit of the spotlight off him from the start, out of, you know. And so he encouraged me to join the trustees as well. And I, you know, after 2 months, I wanted out. I was just getting out of here. Like, these guys were getting nothing done. Lord save us. You know, these guys, like this protective sort of screen, you know, like, ah, you know, it reminds me of when, you know, I'd be in a bar or something, and something had happened way over there, and bouncers had come looking for me. I mean, I'm doing anything. I'm just sort of like, you know, sort of, but there was this kind of attraction, you know, it was just like attraction to me. But I got in there, and oh, God bless me. It was like paint drying, watching paint drying. It was just like, I mean, and I was working on an island off the west coast of Ireland at the time, and I was trying to get stuff done out there. And it was like the same sort of thing. It was like, but there was these feuds that had been going on for like hundreds of years, you know, because this guy's grandfather shot at this guy's grandfather because of one thing or whatever. And when he missed them, somebody from the other island came over and had another pot at him. So it was like, this is all going on. And I'm in the middle of it trying to sort of come up with solutions to move things forward, and these guys on the island like sort of, you know, if it's going to be any benefit to him at all, we're not doing it. Doesn't matter, it'd be a great benefit to me, it doesn't matter, like I'm not doing it if it's a benefit to him. Whereas in this other one, it was like, so I'm going between meetings on the island and meetings of the trustees, and like I'm going, Jesus, it's the same thing. It's like, what's going on here? And I started to realize, like, so God gave me these two places so I could just sort of see, okay, Brendan, your challenge is to find out how can you actually be successful in these places? How can you, because I scared people, you know, because I come in with, I've got this great idea, and people actually go, what's going on here, you know? And so I have to learn. I get these opportunities to learn. I don't get the opportunity to sort of take away the fact that I'm sort of rushy and brash and I've got these ideas and I want to sell them this and whatever. But I get the opportunity to see that that doesn't work. That what I really need to do is, if I want to bring people with me, I have to take time. I have to take God's time. I think if it doesn't happen now, the world is going to end. God's been around for a long time. And he reminds me in the mornings when I sort of sit down and I do my morning meditation, I will take out an A4 sheet and I'll just write down whatever comes into my mind. And the first thing God puts into my mind is breathe, relax, let go, let God. It's all right, Brendan. You know, it's under control. Now, one of the other things, one of the really important things that I get from, you know, starting to slow down and do this is I don't have to panic about what I believe I have failed to do on this great plan of life that I need. I mean, what am I going to do about the pension? What am I going to do about that piece of work that, you know, I started some years ago? And, you know, by this... Sarah, excuse me. I have to laugh at myself because, you know, best made plans of Brendan and mice and Brendan. But I'm... You know, I started working on a particular piece of work all 6 years ago. So, and the plan was to have it all done. You know, I was going to go and get on with it. I'd have it done in a year. I mean, I've done it 2 years. And then I got a grant to do it over 3 years, you know, and then I had to take some time off because of COVID. And now I'm coming into Christmas and we were going to have the pilot. This is a 5 minute pilot. 5 minute pilot from this thing. I have terabytes of film, but I just need a 5 minute pilot. And I have an editor who'll help or whatever. And we're now coming into, you know, we reckon we'll have it done by Christmas. Well, you know, maybe by January or February or March or whatever. And all along the way, you know, I was kicking myself. Why didn't I have, you know, when I arrived out into this place where I'd been thinking about the idea for 6 years before that. Yeah. When I arrived out there, all I had was a handheld, you know, video camera. I hadn't been in contact with the people there. I arrived out of the blue and said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm here to do this. And everything fell into place. Everything fell into place. And everything has continued to fall into place, you know. Last weekend I was out. It was
time.
5 minutes, is it? Or am I finished?
I thought about 5 minutes, but probably
oh, that's
didn't
great.
Hear.
That's great, because I was wondering how I was going to keep filling this in, you know, because I was, I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem, but it was just, you know, just try to keep the content reasonable. Anyway, my higher power has given me people to help to keep me under control. And that's one of the ways of dealing with my defects of character. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Brendan.
I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Reprieve, the best source for experience, strength, and hope for SA members. Please subscribe to this podcast to be alerted of new episodes. Please show your support by donating to The Daily Reprieve by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and choosing either monthly donations or a one-time donation by clicking Donate Now. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Daily Reprieve.